I've got the New Revised Standard Version. Follow along with me. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father, who is all, or of all, who is above all, and through all, and in all. Verse 11. Paul continues, the gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all come to the unity of the faith and of knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the full measure of the stature of Christ. We must no longer be children tossed to and fro, blown about by every doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly and promotes itself, promotes the body's growth and building itself up in love. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. That's a lot of words from God. Let us, let's just briefly look through it. Then I'll say a prayer and we'll start at the end and work backwards. How's that sound? Good. All right. Paul just says, I therefore. And when you see therefore at the start, you should say, what? What's it there for? In other words, he just ended something right prior, and he's saying, because this is true, therefore this. So let's back up just a moment and say, what did Paul just get finished saying? And he has this fantastic conclusion to his prayer that begins in verse 14, where he says, for this reason I bow on my knees before the Father. And he concludes it in verse 20, if you're following along. He says, now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more, listen, far more than we can ask or even imagine. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. So Paul's essentially saying what God is doing in the church and is revealing in the church, it is bigger and more incredible than you and I could even think to ask or imagine. Isn't that amazing? It just blew me away. He's like, just try to think about it. It's bigger than that. Just ask God for something. Be bold in your asking. It's bigger than that. You wouldn't even think to ask. This is so incredible. So therefore, now in verse 4. So God's doing something huge through Christ and Christ's body in the church. Now we begin back in chapter 4. And he says then to you all personally, he says, I beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you've been called. Interesting phrase we'll come back to. So how do we do that? Through humility, gentleness, and patience. So that's what you are growing in, humility, gentleness, and patience. And also, as a community now, you begin growing in this particular kind of way towards one who is committed to unity, committed to peace, committed to just being one body, undivided. And thankfully in the church, we're also Christ-like. It's cake. Now I know you guys are really asleep. Like, have you guys ever been to church? Come on. Have you ever been to a church council? SPRs? I mean, this is, we read words like humility, gentleness, And working towards peace, and we go like, oh, yes, of course. It's beautiful. And then you try to work it out, and you're like, oh, my gosh, I want to pull my hair out sometimes. It's very difficult. And as we talked about at the retreat last week, one of the funniest prayers, whenever I hear somebody who says, I'm praying for this, I just wonder, do they know what they're praying for? But it'll be along these lines. I've just been asking God for more patience. Ooh. Great prayer. Just know what you're praying for. Because God's more than happy to help you with that. And you know how God does that? Reminds you and puts you into situations where you are absolutely at your wit's end. And guess what? That's when you begin to practice patience. That's how you grow in patience. You know how you grow in love? Not by being around people who are very lovable, but being around people that you would rather do anything but love. That's the environment in which we grow in these attributes, right? So he says humility, gentleness, and patience, and you will begin working together as one, like one body. Why? Because there's just one God. And we skipped over 7 through 10, but it's just this beautiful phrase in there. It says where Jesus took captivity captive. Jesus ascended and descended, and he took captivity captive. And you go, what in the world does that mean? And we're trying to get this idea of how Jesus is restoring all things and defeating the powers and principalities of evil, of darkness. How is Jesus pushing back the kingdom of the enemy? And part of it is this. Think of Jesus like storming the enemy's castle, right? And going in, and there's all these slaves there. Let me give you an illustration, actually. There's this rugby teams that I heard of in Asia. And they were, I guess, done being rugby teams. So you can imagine these like big guys, right? And they heard about the sex slave trade, like the sex slavery. I mean, you guys are aware of this, right? Like young girls in slavery for sex. Like people come in and, you know, that's their life, like young girls. And they said, I'm not okay with that. And these entire rugby teams would go into some of these villages and these towns, and they would walk into these brothels, and they would, who knows what they would do to the captors, but they would get the women out and say, you were in slavery, and now we are going to set you free. And they go about getting them education and getting them set up elsewhere. And then the folks that are there doing it, they take them captive. Man, I mean, I just like walk in and say, you are the captors. But me and my entire rugby team, we decided we're not all right with that. And as a matter of fact, you're coming with us. You're now the one in captivity. And the slaves that you once had are now free. Isn't that a beautiful image? That's what Jesus is doing in the kingdom of darkness, in the kingdom of the enemy, right? Like storming the castles and kicking down the doors, taking no prisoners and setting the captives free. Is that good news to you or just me? I remember being in slavery. Let me say a prayer for us, and we'll jump into 10 here at the end, and we'll work our way backwards. God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, speak through me and in spite of me. Open our ears, open our eyes. I pray for my brothers and sisters here that they all have the heart of my sister in Christ who was talking to me this morning and saying, I've been a part of church my entire life, but can I come to your new member class? Because I'm always learning something new. May we have that childlike heart, a willingness to learn, a willingness to know that this thing is bigger and better than we could ever imagine. And so we thank you for that, God. We thank you for our lives. Give us focus and patience. Help us remember that the crock pot can wait. That's why it's a crock pot. And that the restaurants are not going anywhere. And it's all right if the Baptists beat us. We're here to learn about your word. So speak through us and redeem this time. We offer it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, for my first illustration, I'm going to need two things. I'm going to need a crisp $100 bill. Don't be bashful. I mean, you can't even hardly go to the movies with a $100 bill anymore. So I need a crisp $100 bill. Somebody go ahead and grab that. And I'm going to need a brand new baby. 4.5 months will work. You, young lady. All right. Well, let's. Hey! Now, I'm Justin. Now, have we ever met before? All right, so you're not a plant? All right, all right. And this is Aubyn. All right, say hi, Aubyn. Now, where's my $100 bill? All right, there we go. All right, now we've got a baby and a $100 bill. You're going, what is he doing with these things? It just so happens so what Paul said, now don't worry, mothers. She's all right. It's pressed in there in the back. She's not going to go anywhere, I promise. Here, hold on to that. It's pretty clean. Has this? It's probably all right. You can build your immune system. There you go. So you hold on to that. So you good? All right. Here's what I'm going to need you to do, Aubyn. All right. Now, as people bring up those blue slips, Aubyn, I'm going to have them set them there on your stand, and I'm going to need you to go ahead and compile them, all right? And if you could just get me some statistics and let me know the best time frame to do that class, that would be great, all right? So as people bring those up, you just get those to me, okay? All right, so hang right there. Don't go anywhere. So Paul says this in the second half of the... You guys are not going to hear anything I'm saying. he says that, like, everybody has gifts. Everybody has gifts in the church, and he gives them to everybody. You're doing great, beautiful. And he says there are some teachers and prophets and apostles and things like that. And it's actually those folks who equip the body for ministry. And so sometimes churches nowadays get it a little confused. It's like, well, the professional Christian, the pastor, he's the one who does ministry, or she's the one who does ministry. But in actuality, it's the pastors that equip the body to do ministry. That's how it's set up here. And so Paul goes through that. And then he says this, and it's for this purpose. Look up here. He says, so that in verse 13, all of us come to the unity of the faith and of knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. I love to look up words, and I looked up stature, and you know what it means? Stature. Like, you know, the full stature. Grow into the likeness of Christ, like fully. You say, okay, well, I'm all right with that. And he says, well, why? Verse 14, we must no longer be children. We must no longer be children. I thought, well, really, isn't childlikeness a gift? And yes, it is. But here's the difference. Childishness is not. Childlikeness is a blessing. Childishness, not as much. Hey, how are those stats coming, Aubyn? Seriously? I'm up here preaching my heart out. That's all I asked you to do. All right, on the count of three, I'm going to need your help. She's going to need some encouragement. On the count of three, we're gonna whisper. We're going to say, grow up, Aubyn, but in a whisper, all right? You can do it, I promise. I promise. One, two, three. Grow up, Aubyn. You're doing great. She says, how would you like me to do that? Because here's what it says. Paul says this, we must no longer be children. And this is a veteran Christian writing this, Paul, veteran Christian. He says, we're no longer children, but here's the thing. All of us still have childishness within us. And it is the beauty of a member coming into my office this morning who's been going to church her entire life who says, can I be a part of that? Why? Because she realizes there's still more to learn. There's still immaturity in all of us in order for us to continue walking further into the stature of God. So the thing never ends. There's no excuse for being a bored Christian. Oxymoron. Should be an oxymoron. No such thing as a bored Christian. You're awesome. So here's my point with Aubyn. Wait, you dropped this. There you go. She's going to grow up, but it's going to take some time. And it's going to take a community. It's going to take people who are accountable to her. And as she gets older and older, she will be accountable to them. You following me? And there's a lot of fun stuff, and often it's cute. But sometimes it's really gross. You know, I mean, you're like green poop up to the shoulder blades. And you're like, how do you do that? That's like Olympics. How do you manage that? I mean, you're so small, yet so powerful at the same time. But without, like as she comes into the world, and you and I, as we've talked about being born again some, and it's less popular and people abuse it, whatever. But what Jesus says is, when you come into me and this thing really starts to click, you will have an experience that you can only describe as being born again. And in other words, you recognize that you are at that point like the infant. And you cannot do this thing on your own, just like John said in the testimony. And on her own, if I left her to her own devices, how well would she fare? Not at all. So she needs people that will surround her and hold her in what Paul says, truth and love. And what I realize is those things are so hard to hold together. And we don't have, I wish I had a whole sermon time just to talk about that. But really, truth without love can just be cruelty. You know, like folks like, well, I'll tell them the truth. Well, yeah, because you're a jerk. And nobody likes you. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Like, you, well, it's like a badge. Like, well, I'll tell the truth. I'll tell it how it is. How's that working? Right? I mean, so truth without love can just be cruelty. But then listen, love without truth can also just be enabling. Like there is no accountability. So the both of them are held together in this incredible mixture. How I'm going to try to raise you to try to always tell you the truth. If only so you don't wear some of those things I saw the kids at Riverfest wearing yesterday. Hopefully we'll do even better than that. But I'm also, Aubin, I'm also going to love you at the same time. Like both at the same time. So there'll be times, right? There'll be times that you may not like the truth, but I'm going to try to do it lovingly. And I never want you to doubt either one of those. We're going to do them both together. Sound like a plan? Okay. She said, I'm wiping my eyes now, Dad, so that's enough. And all of us, have you had a point where you realize, like, this is you in Christ? I mean, if you're one of the folks that's like, I don't need discipleship. I don't need accountability. Paul says, like, this is you. And you think you've got it together, but everybody else knows you look like this. And in order to grow into the full stature, you've got to have a community. Truth and love that'll walk along beside you. Isn't that right, Miss Aubin? All right. Now you're saying, now, that was Aubin, but what about the $100 bill? Well, young lady, this is you for the rent of the baby. Thank you so much. No, I'm just joking. I'm just joking. Let's give the both of them a hand. So the punchline this morning is simply grow up. Yeah. It's simply to grow up. And how? Like, and never stop growing into the stature of Christ. How do we do that? And let's jump back to the beginning of the chapter. There's this phrase that Paul uses. Verse 1. I beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And when you look up those words, it does get a little bit more interesting as opposed to stature. Calling is this word, klesis. Can I hear you say klesis? Not Cletus, klesis. And then the calling, klesis, to which you have been called is kaleo. Can I hear you say kaleo? These Greek words, and they're actually the same. I mean, it's the same root word. It means like to have a calling, like to a certain way of life. So you had this calling to live a certain way, and it's according to the way in which you were called, which is the stature of Christ. So you're called according to a calling, right? So if you are a Christian, you're called to a certain way of life. Are we on board with that? And the one in which to which you are called is the stature of Christ. So that's what it looks like fully lived out. But here's the interesting part. Do you know the Greek word for church? Nathan, you can't answer this. Ecclesia. Ecclesia. Same root word. Same root word. And you're saying, that only excites nerds like you, Justin. I know, but it's really exciting because what you see then is you have a calling and you're pointing to the thing in which you are called, which is Christ. And because you are called, you now become a part of the community of the called. The church. Same word. Individually you're called to be a part of the community that is called out to be something different. All the same word. And so you're going, that's interesting, Justin. Does that mean, oh, that can't mean what I think it means, because that would be your offensive, controversial statement of the Sunday. That's exactly what it means. Biblically speaking, you guys ready? Biblically speaking, me as an individual, no church, no Christian. A Christian is one who is part of the ecclesia because you have been kaleoed. You're part of the community of the kaleodes. And I can call myself whatever I want to call, but the Bible, but Paul, but Peter, but Jesus would go, wait, what? A Christian is one who is part of the body of Christ. And so you're saying, well, does that mean you have to go to church to be a Christian? And I say, well, I don't know. You work that out. I know that Christians go to church because that is what it means to live out the way in which you have understood your life in Christ. And if there's that misunderstanding, it's because there's a big misunderstanding. And it's very popular, it's very modern to say, I can be whatever I want to be, I can call myself whatever I want to call myself. And what I'm simply saying is that the church has no understanding, no articulation, no description of somebody who says I'm a Christian and has no concept of the Christian community. It's a total oxymoron. It is not in here. It is a made-up conception. Now, that's generally speaking. Don't come to me afterwards and say, well, my homebound grandmother who can't walk and has been paralyzed for 40 years, like, yes, okay, like, I'm not saying that. You know, I'm not saying that. Or my family, we were destitute and he could only work on Sunday mornings and we just had to feed the children. Look, I'm making a general statement. I'm talking about able-bodied peoples is who that is. And so here's the thing. You're saying, all right, you just threw it down, Justin, and you offended somebody and whatever else. At least come speak to me afterwards because I didn't have time to unpack that, just to simply put that out there for you, that the same word for church is the same word for someone who understands himself to be a Christian, just a different format. Christian, individual, church, Christian community. You don't have one without the other. So let me kick this back, though, to the membership thingamajig here. Where did it go? I lost mine. Look, we've already got a couple. That's fantastic. This right here. I talked a moment ago about how, for me, when I talk about church membership, or if I talk about tithing or stewardship or anything like that, it is always because it is a blessing to live that way. Like when I talk about stewardship, and we'll do that, it's because my life has been so blessed by learning how to steward my money. It's not the other way around. There's no arm twisting. There's no guilt tripping. To be a member of the church, to be a member of the church is a joy. It's a privilege. It's a blessing. So joy is always our motivator. And here's what I want to tell you is that all of our life as Christians, all of it is intended. If you've already been a Christian for a while, you know, and like the thing that motivates you seems to always be guilt or whatever else, like, grow up past that point. Don't stay in the infancy stages where you have to be like threatened or guilted into something. There's something missing way at the root. At the beginning of our Christian life, it is that we have discovered Christ has already done something for us before we ever even knew it. Before we ever even opened our eyes, before God revealed it to us, Christ had already been doing something on our behalf. And we see it and we go, oh my gosh, for me? It's beautiful. That's amazing. So if that is the foundation, all of our discipleship, our walking into the likeness of Christ, into the full stature of Christ, is all rooted in joy and gratitude. In joy and gratitude. The last Sunday that I was at my last church, I had had the awesome opportunity to, I guess even prior to the last Sunday, like a year prior, I got to baptize a girl named Jerry, a woman named Jerry. And she came to me, went to her mom's house, and we used the pond there, and we had a big celebration, and we dunked her, and it was fantastic. And she was a grown woman and never been baptized, and so we had this baptismal celebration. It was beautiful, and that was her incorporation into the church. So when you're baptized in Christ, it also comes, at least per our Methodist understanding, it then is a commitment to live that out in a local church community. And then the very last Sunday I was there, I said, well, what would I preach about on my very last time to stand before you guys? And I thought, oh, of course, the gospel. You know, why would I want to preach about anything else? And I did, and I gave kind of an altar call if anybody would like to be baptized. And no one did. And we were downstairs in the basement having the party and refreshments and whatever else. And Jerry's husband, Keith, came up to me and said, I want to be baptized. So I was thinking, like, well, I wish you would have told me 30 minutes ago while we were all up there. But no bother. We went upstairs, picked up the baptismal font. He like carried his own baptismal font. I thought that was like beautiful. It was like a pledge. You know, you kind of like punish him a little bit before you're actually incorporated in. I thought this would be great. It's like carrying your cross, except a humongous font. And he carries it down and sets it down, and everybody just kind of spreads out, and they're holding their cheese and crackers, and they're in front of everybody. We baptized Keith, Jerry's husband, into the church community. This beautiful thing that Christians have been doing for generations and generations. And I've been watching Jerry and Keith and keeping tabs on some of the old members. And she just posted earlier this last week. She said, what do you do when you're sitting in the doctor's office and the doctor comes in and says, your son with cancer has a 20% chance to live? You know, and I'm just thinking, thank God for being part of a church body. Because I don't know what you say. I mean, we're so easy to rush in with cliches, are we not? Like, you know, like just give her some easy words. And I just type like, it's horrible. Breaks my heart. Praying for you. And I'm so glad you're part of a church community. Because what? Because at those points in your life, when they will happen, they will happen. You will get punched in the gut. You will have tragedies. And what happens then? Are you part of a family of folks that stands around beside you? And when you can't even pray, they're praying on your behalf. Like, life is going to happen. And we get to walk this thing out together. And I was just so thankful for that. So you get to be a part of something. When we're all gathered here, there's no way for us to really keep tabs on everybody all at once and do good pastoral care and things like that. We've got to be part of a smaller group where you're checking in with folks and they know you and they can see you and just think, Something's off. What's going on? But all of her life, and I'll conclude us with this, and I want to then ask all of you all to just reflect during the hymn of invitation. Like, where are you in the process of discipleship? I mean, hopefully I've made that kind of clear, that if you're a non-Christian and you're here visiting, keep coming back. Make it a regular habit. If you've been coming to this church, do something totally countercultural and actually commit to something. Like, go against the grain. Like, say, I'm going to be here on Sundays. I'm going to be part of this community. So you're invited to do that. If you're already a part, or even if you're not a part, the challenge is, where are you in a smaller group of people where this is going deeper? And you're bumping elbows with folks in your walk with Christ. And if you've been after it for 30 and 40 and 50 years, where are you still immature? Where's the stature of Christ in front of you and you're still going, well, I still have a ways to go? So wherever you are, you have those questions before you. And I said that our discipleship, our life as a Christian, is always rooted in joy, right? You remember when I said that? Always rooted in gratitude. And we talked about how church membership, it really is, it's kind of like marriage. It's saying, look, I'm going to be here for thick and thin, and when I feel like leaving, I'm not, because I've committed to you all. And I'm going to stay, and we might fight it out and duke it out, because guess what? In the church, there are poopy diapers. Can I get an amen? Yeah. It happens. Why would we expect any less? But we're trying to grow together in truth and love together in this community. It is a mess sometimes, but it's also a joy. It's also a privilege. And all of us live out our lives in discipleship and church membership because of the one who already committed to us. All in. Didn't hold anything back. Jesus Christ, who came and walked among us and didn't turn around when the going got tough, or even in the garden when the cup seemed to be presented and he said, you know, can you just take this cup away, but not my will, but yours be done, and went all the way to the cross. Why? Commitment. Demonstration of fidelity. And when it got painful, he hung and bore it. Especially when it got messy and difficult and painful. That is the fidelity, the commitment, the body of the one in whom all of us are growing in stature. That's just a dimension into how we understand church membership and think that it is so important. Why? Because it's just one way in which you and I are surrendering our, well, I'll come and go as I please. Well, maybe I'm just not getting fed, I'll leave. Be countercultural. Be Christ-like. You owe it to yourself to commit to a community. In the good and the bad. And growing in the stature of Christ, who is there to the very end. Amen and amen.